Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Big week at the Masters. It's pretty hard to decide who the best player in the world is right now, huh? Scottie Scheffler, absolutely dominant. I think the only concern that we have about Scottie right now moving forward is when will his wife go into labor and pull him off the course? Because if he's playing, I have to assume he is going to win the tournament. David, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Yeah, look, just an incredible performance from Scheffler. And I think it does a discredit to him if we refer to it as inevitable, because that really takes away from what he achieved, you know. And it felt inevitable before the tournament. It felt inevitable day one when he was one shot off the lead. It felt inevitable on Sunday. A little bit of a shame that sort of like after eight holes, there was four players tied for the lead there. And it was like, okay, like we're going to have like a real battle down the stretch. Any of these guys could potentially come and take it out. And then he just ran away with it. I mean, minus five across nine holes and just absolutely put the foot down. And as much as people would like to say that that's an inevitability, like the golfer still needs to go out on the golf course and produce the goods and do it, right? And I thought that was incredibly impressive from him. He's an insane talent, obviously. I think that we all understand what he's doing now. One of the Arnold Palmer, won the Players' Championship, second in Texas, and he had a putt at the last hole from 7 feet, which he missed to go to a playoff, and then wins the Masters. I mean, what a golfer.
And like, you know, there's a world where we've seen guys go on runs and like squeak out wins. Like, he dominated. That tournament wasn't even in question. That was just dominant. And, you know, and at the end, any point where you thought, hey, maybe he's going to choke or maybe something, just hits a perfect shot after perfect shot, puts it right where he needed, never flat, never even looked nervous, like he had a chance of choking or anything like that. We're seeing something very special right now. And this is rare air. You know, I'm not going to go as far as to say it's Tiger Woods-esque, because Tiger basically was like this for like 10 years straight. But it's like right after Tiger, it's like I can't compare it to anything else that we've seen. It's truly, truly unbelievable. And it's exciting and fun to be a part of. So we have another tournament this week, and it's another elevated event. So it is a little odd that we're getting an elevated event right after the Masters. You kind of would have thought they would have separated that, but they didn't, which means more exciting golf for us. more for us to go out there and win, and more excitement for this show. So I think it's fine. It's great for us to get into it. A few things to settle on before we dive into things. Audience, great job last week. You guys won in the draft cast. You guys will be getting the first pick again. I don't know who you guys might think about taking this time, but I have an idea who I would take if I had the first pick. That is for sure. It's just going to be a three-man draft tonight. Spencer couldn't make it. See, obviously couldn't make it tonight, so it'll be the three of us going through this field. And David is going to give us the course breakdown, which is especially important this week because it's a unique course, and it's a unique profile of golfer that you might want to target in order to have success here this week. So, David, enlighten us. What are you looking for this week at RBC Heritage?
Yeah, thanks, Joel. Yeah, look, I think that with this golf course, right, and easy to mention, as you said, about the signature event, I think the PGA Tour ends up in a really difficult spot with this tournament because it is an historic golf course and an historic stop on the PGA Tour. It's been played after the Masters for the last 40 years. Arnold Palmer won the first edition of the tournament. Jack Nicklaus obviously is involved with the history of this tournament as well. So there's a lot of prestige and legacy when it comes to this golf course, and it kind of puts the PGA Tour in a difficult spot where I don't think they really had any other option other than to make it a signature event. One, because of the history and legacy and the fact that it's always kind of been the week after the Masters. It's a place that the golfers really like to actually come down to after the Masters, kind of chill out a bit when they get to Harbour Town and Hilton Head and relax a little bit after a pretty intense week. You've also got one of the biggest sponsors of the PGA Tour, RBC, who RBC don't just sponsor this tournament. They sponsor a number of tournaments on the PGA Tour. They have to keep their sponsor happy. That's, you know, the PGA Tour. Unlike other tournaments and tours in the world of golf, PGA Tour actually have to run a business and it has to be viable. And that includes keeping your sponsors happy. And finally, I think that you've got to capture all of the guys all these new fans who come in, watch the Masters, they want to see what Scottie Scheffler is doing, lead in with another big event, make the most of the strike when the iron's hot, basically. And that's what they're doing here. So it is an incredibly strong field. 69 players, nice to see in the field this week. Nice small field, though, and not many additions. I would have liked to have seen this a little bit bigger, but it does mean that you do have to restrict your player pool. You are going to see some inflated ownership in places because of that. You are also...
Yeah, I just want to ask you a quick question because I need to know.
Yeah.
Was your nice comment intentional to be funny, or was that just a coincidence? Okay.
It's a nice number, Joel. You know, it's just a nice number that we like to point out occasionally. And no cut either. So all of your golfers are going to get four rounds. And typically when it comes to that sort of recipe, at an elevated like that, I like to keep my DFS pool really tight. And I do like to go to a build which favors like stars and scrubs approach, because once you're guaranteed getting four rounds after these guys, you do expect the cream is going to rise to the top by the end of the tournament. In saying that, and you mentioned this in the lead-in to my spiel about the course, this is a really quirky, tough test, and it does suit a really particular type of golfer. So if there ever was a signature no-cut event where you wanted to stray from that stars and scrubs approach, it could well be here. It's got one of the largest correlations to driving accuracy to success here, not just because of the very narrow nature of the course, but even when you find the fairway, you have these overhanging trees that can really impede your second shot. So not only are you just trying to find the fairway, you're trying to find the right side of the fairway to make sure that you've got your angle into the greens. The greens are minuscule. They're only 3,700 square feet. As a result of that, you see a huge uptick in strokes gained around the green. If you look at our two past champions, Jordan Spieth and Matt Fitzpatrick, what do they both do really well? They're both incredibly good with their short game, around the green, bunker play, putting. So all of those around the green soft touch metrics really come into play on this golf course. The other thing I mentioned is because of this interesting nature of the course, everyone ends up playing kind of similar spots, and it's kind of similar to Pebble Beach in that regard, although quite a different test. They all end up playing similar yardages, and something really noticeable for me is in the approach metrics, what we expect them to be hitting. You're going to see on average only two shots over 200 yards for golfers this week. That is like the lowest that you will see on the PGA Tour all season. Typically, it's around 4 to 5, maybe 6, depending on the golf course, particularly places like Quail Hollow, which are going to lean heavily on your long irons. The fact that you're only getting 2 shots over 200 yards is really marked. And then under 100 yards, you're only getting typically 1 wedge shot. So everything is basically falling within that 100 to 200 yard bucket, particularly 150 to 200 yards. And that's a result of players laying up off the tee, finding safety, finding the fairway, the right portion of the fairway, really targeting those approach buckets, I think is key this week. And then players who have an excellent short game, because you will miss greens. And when you need miss greens, you either need to be getting up and down for a birdie or to save par and keep that momentum going.
There you have it. I think more important than most weeks, this is a particularly one to definitely listen up, understand the metrics that are required for this course, and do your research to know which golfers fit the profile, because that's where you can really get an edge. And David made a really good point. You know, this isn't the same as any other week. And the fact that it's a no-cut event, there's only 70 golfers, that changes the strategy, right? Because now, I think, as David said, it does make that stars and scrubs approach even more viable, because everyone's playing all day. You don't have to worry about missing the cut. So if a guy's a good scorer, you can afford a blow-up day and still have that guy in a winning lineup. With that being said, let's pull up the draft board. Audience, congratulations. You guys will get the first pick because of having a great draft last week. Can you keep the hot momentum going here at the RBC? I'll put it this way. Audience, I'll say you are on the clock, so we're waiting for the pick. You also can pick who will go second. Whoever's name you put in the chat first between me and David will get the second pick. The other one of us will get the third, so we'll just wait. As soon as someone drops one of our names, that's who will be going second. As we wait for that, I will remind everyone, this works like your typical fantasy football draft. It's snake style. Audience, you'll go first. One of us will go second. One of us will go third. The third pick will get 2 in a row. That's there you go. So David will go second. I will go third. I'll get 2 in a row, and then we will come back. Audience, you will get 2 starting in the second round and beyond. The one thing to keep in mind is you do need to stay within your DraftKings salary. So it looks like the audience first pick is Scottie Scheffler. Can't complain about that. That's a great pick. With Scottie Scheffler being the pick, keep in mind the rest of your picks have to, you know, figure out a way to make sure you can afford and find some value, so that you can stay within your DraftKings salary. You know, I'll start. The only thing you have to factor in here is, you know, how you're going to build your lineup with Scottie. Scottie's the best player in the world. He's playing just unbelievable right now. You know, I guess it's coming down with his price being so high that you kind of do need him to win the tournament probably to be worth it, but I would say he's likely to win another tournament, so... I will be playing Scotty, but I probably won't be playing as much of him this week as you would think, strictly because of how you have to build your lineup by having him in there at that price tag. And basically, even I would say even a third place at that price might not be in the winning lineup. So he's playing great, you know, obviously in the 3-man, that would be my pick. David, you're on the clock with your first pick, but I love your take on Scotty this week as well.
I'd say this is going to be somewhat controversial when I say that. I'm surprised with the extremely high ownership with Scottie Scheffler this week. He's currently 41%. Now, that might seem absurd to say for a golfer who's just gone win, win, second, win. But we also know that back home, he's got Meredith Scheffler sitting on the couch, about to explode at any time and bring his first offspring into the world. He already committed to it at the Masters, even on Sunday, that he would fly home if that were to happen. And I thought as a result of that, that we might actually see some depressed ownership here. He's just won the Masters. He's getting closer and closer to due date for baby number one. And if anything were to happen at home, I have no doubt that he will be hopping on a plane and heading out of here. And so I think there's actually some real withdrawal equity here this week with Scottie Scheffler off the basis of that. And all that's happened with his ownership is it's gone up another 10% and his salary's gone up too. And so I guess my question comes, if his ownership had been low as a result, I probably would have taken the opposite stance and been like, you just load up Scheffler because he could win just every single tournament this year and like he's playing at that level. But because his ownership's so high, I kind of want to take a contrarian stance this week and say, well, do you know what? If he doesn't play all 4 rounds, then I'm getting huge leverage on the rest of the field. And I mean, he could WD tomorrow, he could WD Thursday morning, and you get nothing from it.
I'm aligned with your thought process on it. I think if he creeps up over 40%, then I'm going to come way off. I mean, I won't say zero, because to your point, it wouldn't shock me at all if he went and won the tournament again. So I'll have some exposure to him, but at 40%, it won't be high. I think there's just value to fade. And to your point, the way they were talking about his wife, there's a pretty high probability he ends up leaving this week and not even playing. So if that would mean if he left and didn't finish the weekend and 40% of the people played him, that is a huge leverage spot. So it's just something to keep in mind in terms of, don't forget, this is, DFS is a betting game and it's a gambling game. And, if you play poker, the concept of pot odds. This is that same concept, right? The odds are everyone's playing him. If you can get value by not, then obviously he's the best player, but it doesn't mean it's a guaranteed win.
Yeah, for sure. And I just take that stance this week, and look, it'll probably make me look silly when he goes and wins the thing on Sunday. But I think that there's real withdrawal equity with Scotty Scheffler this week. And I think given the ownership number that I'm seeing at the moment, I'm getting 41.5. That probably means that I'm going to be lower on Scotty Scheffler than most people this week. I'm going to lead out this week with a golfer who is yet to win on the PGA Tour, but has won copious numbers of tournaments on the DP World Tour, has been in great form, showed up last week at the Masters without really being in it, so I've got less fear for him about the tiredness and hangover of being in the contention of battle, is Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood ranks really highly for me. So finished third last week. As I said, he was never kind of in the heat of battle. He was just kind of there or thereabouts all week, but it was an extremely strong showing in really tough conditions. If I look at comparison courses where accuracy was really key and those key iron metrics were in play, RBC Canadian Open 2023 at Oakdale was one of those courses. Nick Taylor obviously won that event for us at 80-1. It was an amazing event with the playoff with Tommy Fleetwood. But Tommy Fleetwood was right there all week, and many thought he was going to go on and win that tournament. He's finished 15th and 10th in his last two starts at the RBC Heritage. He also finished 5th in the match play just outside the semifinals at Austin Country Club. That's another Pete Dye design. And he's got a good record at TPC River Highlands as well. So another TPC course, but Pete Dye also had a hand at that one as well. So I'm really liking the correlating form. He's been hitting the ball a lot better. He's one of the most accurate drivers in the field. He's one of the best around the green in the field, all hitting the key metrics that I'm looking at this week. I think he's a fabulous bet, and his ownership's getting a little bit high. I'm seeing about 22%, but obviously if you're not taking Scheffler with your first pick, you're already getting different to the majority of DFS players this week.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I think that strategy is certainly understandable here on your first pick. It also maybe slightly change your strategy in terms of a three-man because there's only three of us. So how you kind of might approach this draft could be slightly different than versus a four-man. I did think Tyrese price was a little high this week, but that's kind of becomes a moot point when you're basically if you're playing a non-Scotty Scheffler lineup. Now you're just kind of building different ways to get different. So I certainly do see a lot of upside there with Tommy Fleetwood. For my two, I'm pretty locked in. The first one, you know, shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. There's a few weeks where I kind of go back to this guy, and this is definitely one of them, and that's Patrick Cantlay. You know, Cantlay has a excellent reputation on this course. He's got a great history here. This seems to be a course that he plays very well. In terms of his form, you know, it's not the best form we've seen from Cantlay over the last few weeks, but I do think this is a get right spot for him. I think he looks to get back on this course. He looked a little bit better last week. And I think we see a top five finish from him. I'm going to pair Cantlay with Cameron Davis. And this is the type of course where I really like to target a guy like Davis who's going to club down. He'll find his fairways. He's another guy that has a great course history. He tends to have good results at this course. And I think as a value play, he's one of my favorite values on the board. He is coming in better form. He's had a few good results recently, trending in the right direction. I think this is a spot where he's his trajectory is pointing him toward a top 10 this week. And in the 7K range, I think he makes a ton of sense. I think the issue with him is he'll probably be chalky in those Scotty Scheffler builds, but I don't have Scheffler, so I'm already different by doing it that way. So I have no problem with that start. David, you're on the clock with your second pick, but I would love your take on Cantlay and Davis first.
Yeah, I think they're really interesting picks, Joel, because you touched on them being chalky, but I'm surprised that both of them are at the ownership that we're seeing. So Cantlay at the moment, I'm getting around 21%. That's less than Ludvig Gobert. That's less than Tommy Fleetwood within that range. That's less than Xander Schauffele. And Patrick Cantlay's record here is phenomenal. I mean, he loves RBC Heritage. Yes, he's never won it, but at Harbortown, he's gone third, second, miscut, third, seventh. So, I mean, outside of one miscut, he's never finished worse than seventh here in his last five appearances. So his course form just speaks for itself. And the fact that he's lower owned than some of the names around him, I find really surprising. And the same with Cam Davis as well. I mean, I'm getting 12% on Cam Davis, which honestly, in a field of 69 players, nice, is that I would have thought that was going to be a lot higher for someone who is just such an excellent record at this golf course. As you said, he's typically one of these players who plays better at these club down spots. He's played here three times, finished 25th on debut, then a third and a seventh. If you look at courses like Sedgefield, for example, another like Pete Dye design, short, accurate golfers have won there. Tom Kim, who's going to be very popular this week, obviously won there as well. He's finished 22nd, 15th, 7th. Austin Country Club, he's played well as well in the match play. So he just seems like a really obvious choice. And again, at 12%, I'm surprised that ownership number is what it is. Like, he's lower owned than JT Poston, for example, who's even more expensive than him. So I think they're both very, very solid picks, and happy with the way that you've started your card there.
I'll even add one thing on that. Ownership in this, because it's a no-cut 69-man field, should be higher than normal. So we should be expecting a little bit of boost to the ownership number than we normally would see. So if you're already feeling okay with the number, you should feel really good about it at this point.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll come in right here with my next pick. Again, I'm going to go down to that 7K range just like you've done. I'm going to take Harris English at 7,500. He's got one of the best short games in the game. Around the green and putting is like the fundamentals of Harris English. And outside of a miscut at the Texas Open, his record recently has been 17th at the Phoenix Open, 7th at the Genesis, 21st at the Arnold Palmer, 19th at the Players, and he's just come off a 22nd place finish at the Masters. He ticks a lot of the boxes for me. He's a winner at TPC River Highlands, which is another Pete Dye design. Again, accuracy is a really big factor at TPC River Highlands. And if you go back far enough, he's had some good results here. He finished 8th on debut. And I just feel that Harris English is a more talented golfer than this price is giving him. Obviously, he had a bit of time out of the game, and I think that's he slipped out of the sphere of a lot of people's minds as a result of that. And that's all promising for me. I'm only getting 8% ownership on him. I think he should be much higher given the upside potential that I see for him. He's one of the lowest actually within that 7K range for me at the moment. And I find that absurd for a golfer who's just like stringing top 25s against really high caliber fields together on a course that I think is actually the best fit of all the courses he's played in recently.
I love the pick. Harris English is a staple in my value plays every week this year. I mean, to your point that you've made, this is a guy who coming up would have been a 9K golfer week in, week out. He had some injuries. He hadn't played for a while. And, you know, people kind of lost trust in him. He dropped to tiers. He seems to be regaining that form. And I think by the end of the season, I think he's going to be a staple in the high 8K range moving forward because I'm seeing it become more consistent now. And we know this isn't like, oh, he's rising. He was there before. He was this good. Injuries had set him back. I think the healthy Harris English is starting to show. So right now, if he's going to stay in that 7K range, he's going to be a value play I will be looking at often this season. Audience, great job getting your two in. I love one of them. I'm not so sold on the other. Lucas Glover and Adam Svensson. Lucas Glover, I am definitely endorsing. I think Glover is one of my favorite 6K value range plays. He's another one that's been playing well. He's got that kind of questionable putter where it's like when the putter's rolling, you love Glover. He's striking the ball well. He can really compete. If the putter's not rolling, he might give you some issues. But at 6K, definitely a shot worth taking. Adam Svensson, I wasn't as high on. I'm probably not playing much of him myself this week. Well, love to get feedback from you, David. Are you playing Svensson or Glover at all this week?
So first on Glover, I really like the play. He's clearly underpriced at 6,800. I'll talk briefly about that 150 to 200 approach range that I mentioned at the top of the show, giving the course preview. As I mentioned, 9 approach shots out of, 14, assuming the par threes, are going to be in that 150 to 200 yard range. So in this field, since January 1st this year, the best in approach from 150 to 200 yards is Scottie Scheffler, marginally ahead of Will Zalatoris, marginally ahead of Corey Connors, who's marginally ahead of Lucas Glover. So that's a really key range for him where he's producing a lot of output. He's also very good between 100 to 150 yards, so that complements him there. The concern with him always comes down to the putter. On these smaller greens, I think the advantage for him is going to be that he's not going to need to have too many lag putts. Like, it's really going to be within that kind of 10-foot circle that majority of that putting output's going to be. And he's begun to gain again with his putter. Like, I mean, we saw last week at the Masters, he gained nearly 4 strokes putting. So really promising sign for him on a course where the greens were just like lightning fast, like some of the fastest greens that I've ever seen at Augusta National. He's a past champion at Sedgefield as well. So if you go far enough back in his history as well, he's played well at Harbortown. So do really like that play. 12% ownership, I think, is manageable given the output that you're getting from him. With Svensson, I'll give the audience some credit for the fact that he is going to be lower owned than a lot of the options down that range. This is the flaw that you're going to get with these Scottie Scheffler builds, is if you're taking the guy who's 13,300, you are going to have to go down into the 6K range to go and find some salary relief. And that's clearly what the audience have done here and taken Svensson. Of all the options that they could have taken in that range, he's probably one of the better just because he is going to be lesser owned than, say, Ekroach or Putnam right next to him are going to attract quite a bit of ownership. Glover is quite clearly the highest owner of that range, but as I mentioned, that's kind of for good reason. My concern with Svensson comes down to the fact that he loses on putter consistently. He's only gained once in his last 15 or so starts in a significant way. And then his around the green game is not that sharp either as well. So he ticks the metrics in terms of approach and driving accuracy. I just come to question, if he is going to be missing a few greens here and there, what's his ability to get up and down? Because I think that's really key around Harbour Town Golf Links.
Yeah, that's a really good point. All right, well, audience, you did find a way to kind of leave yourself some money left on your last three picks and getting some value in your lineup. David, you have about $8K per pick left. Who are you looking at here with your third?
Yeah, so I'm going to go and grab a golfer called Christian Bezuidenhout in honor of model maniac Byron, his fellow South African. Bezuidenhout has been in great form, doesn't have the Masters hangover. He's unfortunately not in the field, but before that was 25th at the Texas Open, 9th at the Valspar, 13th at the Players' Championship. Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass, also designed by Pete Dye, by the way. Really like the approach numbers that we're getting from Bezuidenhout lately. Like, it's off the charts what he's been doing on approach this year. He hasn't necessarily got the results to really pay back what the approach numbers suggest. He's also a very, very good putter. That's going to be a benefit for him as well. Gains on approach around the greens, consistently. He's gained around the greens on his last four starts. And with the driving accuracy, I think this is a really good spot for him.
Honestly, I was going to take it with my next pick. So I love the pick. It's someone I was targeting as well. He's another guy that's just outperforming his price tag this year. I mean, he's playing really good golf. This should be a course that suits him really well. So definitely a guy I will be targeting this week as well. All right, I got two here, and I do have to pivot because I really was going to take him there. So I'm going to start with my next two. I'm going to go with first Akshay Bhatia. I'm going to go back to that well. I mean, Akshay has looked great. You know, even last week at the Masters, he gave you a decent finish. It wasn't great, but let's not really fault him. The Masters is a unique test. He got you at 35th, which I think is fine considering how unique a test was. But if you look, let's not have two short-term memory. The week before, he won the Valero. He was 11th at the Houston Open. He gained 8 strokes ball striking in both those tournaments. I think he has another showing of great ball striking on display this week. If he can land on these greens and make a few putts, I think he can have a really good result again at under 8K. And I'm going to also pair him with another guy who has a great history here. You know, he's obviously won this tournament last year, and that's Matt Fitzpatrick. He's another guy who's, you know, we haven't been talking about him a lot this year. He's kind of been flying around the radar, but if you sneakily look at the last three tournaments he's played in, he was 5th at the Players, 10th at the Valero, and he was 22nd at the Masters. So he's in good form, and this is a course that he's coming back to that he likes. So this is one that we expect a good result from Fitzpatrick with that positive momentum and trajectory heading into a course that's kind of built and made for him. I think you get another really great result from Fitzpatrick. So 9,600, thought was a little high, but I think that he certainly has the upside to pray off that price tag. David, I'll go to you. Are Fitzpatrick or Bhatia on your radar?
Yes, well, there's only two of us, Joel, so I guess that you should go to me because I'm the only person who can comment on the picks. Look, I'm not going to be on Bhatia at all this week. My concern comes down to what he's been able to produce on similar courses. So if we're looking at things like Harbour Town, Oakdale, which I mentioned, Sedgefield, he's played those courses 5 times. He's only made the cut once and he finished 68th at the Canadian Open. I think that he's much better suited to courses where he can use driver. It is the strongest club in his bag. He's very, very long off the tee. He can be really accurate with it as well. And I like the fact that on those golf courses, he can use his biggest asset to his strength. I just find here that he won't be able to use that club to its full advantage. If he produces the approach numbers that he was in the lead up to that Texas Open, you can expect a stronger showing perhaps. But I just wonder if there's perhaps better spots for Bhatia as a result of that. I mean, you're not going to get a hell of a lot of ownership on Bhatia this week. So in terms of leverage, if he can come out and just like absolutely ball strike the hell out of it, never miss any greens, you know, you might get some value there. In terms of Fitzpatrick, I think that's a really savvy play. I don't think he's going to be on many people's radars given the fact that he finished 22nd last week, losing strokes on approach, and he's been doing a lot putting recently, but we just know what a good putter Matt Fitzpatrick is, right? And kind of comes down to like I've spoken about this previously with golfers like Denny McCarthy and Taylor Montgomery. It's like some golfers are just really good putters, you know, and we just got to accept that they are going to make their strokes gain putting. And that kind of flies in the face of other models that we'd use for predicting the future success of golfers, looking for guys who have maybe underperformed putting and we expect to spike. Man Fitzpatrick's one of the best in the game with his short game. He's got strong links to Harbour Town as well. Used to come here on holiday as a kid. He mentioned that in his victory last year. And yeah, if you can get the defending champ at like reasonably low ownership, I'm only getting like 16%. I think that's a really savvy play.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring. And full throttle is half the fun. Where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
There you have it. All right, David, you got your fourth pick here. You got money to spend, 8,300 average. Who are you looking at? What direction looking to go?
Yeah, so I'm going to go and take Corey Connors at 8,300. I mean, if you're looking at elite ball strikers who are very accurate off the tee, Corey Connors is always going to be a name that comes to mind. He hasn't lost on approach since the Open Championship in 2023. So he's consistently gaining on approach against some of the best in the world. He's ranks really highly within that 150 to 200 yard approach bucket, which I really like. The most promising thing for me with Connors is he gets criticized consistently for his around the green and his putting game. He's gained strokes putting at the Masters, as I mentioned, some of the fastest greens that we'll probably see all year. Certainly the fastest that I can remember at the Masters in recent memory. They were like at extremely high speeds last week. He also gained putting at the Players, as I mentioned, Pete Dye Design, finished 13th there. And he's been about field average around the greens of late, which for Corey Connors like is a positive. So the fact he's playing in these elite fields, not losing too much around the green, starting to gain putting, and he's one of the best ball strikers, one of the most accurate drivers in the game. I really like those correlations there. He's finished third at the match play as well, another Pete Dye Design, near the fourth here in 2021. So I do like his record, and I think he goes a little bit under the radar compared to how he should be treated this week.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I agree. He profiles like someone that should find success at a course like this. You know, coming off the big week at the Masters, you know, it's certainly reasonably priced. So I'm totally fine with the Connors play. I also have to give my respects to Team Audience, who is killing it with getting their picks in super quick. Zach, I appreciate you shepherding along and hitting the lock. Jordan, Silent Assassin, appreciate the help. Two picks, Cam Young and Pavone. Is it Cam Young? Yeah, it's Cam Young. Interesting pick. You know, Cam Young doesn't profile as the type of guy that you'd want here. Certainly playing well. I think the price is fair. I can see why you might want to play a guy like Cam Young because of the profile of Goffer. I just wasn't going to target him this week, but I could see how that could pay off for you guys. So I'll pass it to you, David. Are you playing either Pavone or Cam Young this week?
So I've been having this debate for about 3 months with a friend of mine that I respect very much in the tipping space, Titanic Gambler. He's a very, very hot betting tipster. And we chat on Discord quite often together. And he thinks that this is the perfect spot for Matthew Pavone. And I've been taking the opposite stance. I've kind of always suggested that the best place for Matthew Pavone has been some of these long driving golf courses. And that came to fruition at the Torrey Pines at the Farmers Insurance Open when he won for us at 125-1. Look, he has produced on some of these shorter courses. Sony Open comes to mind. I didn't think it was the best course fit for him. He played really well. He finished seventh. He finished third at the Pebble Beach. Bear in mind, only a 54-hole tournament. There was some weather involved. It was kind of a weird spot that week. I just think that perhaps on a course where he gets to use driver a little bit more often, is going to be my preference for Pavone moving forward. He might come out and surprise me. He has been within this kind of top 20 golfers in the world this year. Like, he's been playing incredible golf. So I'll give him that credit. But I'm still a wait and see on Pavone, and just really want to figure out how he's going to play some of these shorter, more fiddly courses on the PGA Tour. As for Cam Young, I mean, he finished third here in 2022, and he was runner-up at Austin Country Club, another Pete Dye design, really kind of like driving accuracy, fiddly golf course. And there's less trees in play at Austin Country Club, but there's water involved, and that kind of dictates where you want to play in terms of the fairways. And he played really well there. Obviously, he's been in better form lately. He was second at the Valspar, showed up with a ninth at the Masters. I'm kind of the same frame as you, as like outside of the third place at the Heritage, he's never really showing up at many of these other comp courses that I would expect to see him at if he was kind of the Cam Davis model that you took of a long driver who actually benefits from taking the driver out of his hand more often and finding some accuracy off the tee and can dial in on approach. So, look, again, similar kind of answer to Pavone. I don't know if it's the best spot with Cam Young. The third might suggest otherwise, but there's probably other spots that I would look to deploy him at.
There you have it. All right, David, you're up here with your fifth pick. You have the most money left to spend. Let's see what strategy you take and utilize on this pick.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Shane Lowry here at 8,500. 15% ownership. I was surprised to see it at that kind of level. I would have expected a little bit more given he's been one of the best ball strikers in the world over these last kind of 5-6 starts. Was insanely good on approach at the Masters, lost like everything putting. Was incredibly frustrating because he was within our tips at the Masters given his great record at that golf course there. And he ball struck the hell out of it and just couldn't find a putt. And that's the risk that you run with someone like Shane Lowry. But he's gaining like between 6 to 8 strokes on approach consistently every single tournament that he's teeing it up. And the round the green game's been really good for him of late as well, which I find is promising. It's just really going to depend which putter turns up. In saying that, he's typically putted really well here. So he's got a third, a ninth, and a third again in 2022 at this golf course. So he's played really well, found success on these greens. And he's only lost strokes putting here once. Admittedly, that was his last appearance, but out of his six starts here, five of them he's gained strokes putting, and usually in a big way. And I think that he's striking the ball better now than he was previously in his other appearances. So really like him here, especially if the winds get up a little bit, which they can do in this seaside location.
I like it. I like that pick. I certainly will endorse that one. Shane will be in my player pool. He get another guy that, to me in this field, he feels like, I guess I'll say it's fairly priced. I was going to lean to maybe even underpriced at this field. He certainly is a guy in the 8K range that possesses a lot of upside. So he'd be someone I would want to target. All right, for my last two here, I got to stay in the 7K range to make this work. I'm going to start with Taylor Moore, who has been playing excellent golf as of recent, and he's been doing it for a pretty consistent stretch. I mean, he was second at the Houston Open. He had 20th at the Masters, 12th at the Vaspar. But even looking before that, he's been on a stretch of, you know, top 40s. I mean, at the Arnold Palmer, he was 48. But other than that, he's been in the top 40s for a few tournaments before that. So I think he's kind of peaking at the right time. At 7,400, the price is right. His one appearance here before, he was T11, so he's played well here before. I'm totally fine with the price. I actually probably would say he's probably a little bit underpriced for my liking. Ownership a little bit high for what he is, but at I'm seeing about 14% right now, which I'm okay with playing. And I'm going to pair him with JT Poston, who, you know, is not coming in with the best form for what we've seen. JT Poston was playing spectacular golf at the beginning of the year. He's significantly slowed down over the last month or two. But I think this is the get right spot for him. This is a course where he has a fantastic course history. He's shown up here. I mean, he missed the cut last year in 2023, but he was a T3 in 2022, missed the cut in 21, and then T8 and T6. So having three top 10 finishes for someone who's going to be priced in the 7K range, obviously there's upside with it. I think he can find some of that form we saw earlier in the year. And then this is a spot where he rises up at a course that we know he's found a lot of success in the past. David, you got one left at 8,300, but would love your take on both Moore and Poston first.
Yeah, so in regards to Taylor Moore, I prefer Taylor Moore at golf courses where he can really lean into his excellent approach play over 200 yards. He's one of the best on the PGA Tour within that range. And my concern here for him comes from the fact that it's on a golf course, which actually you have a really low number of shots within where he can really elevate himself over the other people in the field. So it'd be my concern alongside ownership around 10%. Look, he's a little bit less owned than, say, Cam Davis in that range, but he is like getting up there in terms of ownership compared to other names around him. Same with JT Poston, unfortunately. Again, I'm getting kind of like 13% ownership on JT Poston. And for me, I'd rather go to like a Bezuidenhout or English, who I drafted. You might have done similar, I think, if those names weren't off the board. As you mentioned, you would have liked to have taken Bezuidenhout. I just prefer those options there, considering their lower ownership. And I've actually got a higher expected output for both of them this week.
All right. Well, you got one, 8,300 left. Who's it going to be?
Well, I'm a sucker for punishment, Joel. And me and this golfer have the equivalent of an abusive relationship where everybody around us knows that we should break up. And everyone tells us that we should break up. But we just keep getting back together. And that golfer is Russell Henley, who consistently is going to finish top 10, have a chance to win, and throw it away down the stretch. I just can't resist the form. I can't resist his correlating courses. Ninth year previously, 19th last year as well. Sedgefield, he's finished second and fifth. Very, very accurate off the tee. Excellent approach metrics. Great chipping. Great putting. Ticks all the boxes, should be a great spot for him. So inevitably he's going to finish T6, but I just can't resist him at this price. He is going to be high owned. He's going to be about 15-16%. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm not taking Scheffler. That's immediately going to get you different. And taking this kind of balanced build approach, immediately you're going to find some leverage in other spots. And I think what I would comment, like, if I'm going to toot my own horn and give credit to my own lineup, I would say like every single player within this lineup has win equity at this golf tournament. Like every single one could come out and win at this kind of fiddly golf course where driving accuracy is going to be really key. And I'd like taking that stance over risking whether Meredith Scheffler is going to go into labor. So I'd like to hear your take on Russell Henley and whether you think we should break up or I can continue my love affair with him.
I like the pick. He's definitely in my player pool. I at one point in this draft was planning to take him. The way the picks turned out, he didn't end up in my lineup. I will definitely be playing Henley this week. I do think he's a little bit overpriced. Like, I prefer Henley in the 7K range as a value play, but I think he has plenty of upside. Again, he's someone I'm definitely going to play. It does seem like a really good course fit for him. We've seen that good form recently. We've also seen the really good result from here at this course. So, yeah, I endorse the Henley pick. I will be playing him as well. And audience, another great job getting your pick in early with Chris Kirk. He had a good showing in the over the weekend at the Masters. He seems like another guy that should be a good fit here. And the 7K range, I think, is pretty low. I think there's a lot of options here to go to. He's one that I think you can consider. I think there's some other guys I like more in the 7K range, but they're all gone. So for what you guys had left, I can understand getting to Kirk in this spot. David, I'll pass to you. Are you going to be on Kirk at all this week?
Yeah, Kirk was actually one of the other names that I was going to mention that you could perhaps go to instead of a Taylor Moore or a JT Poston. 16th last start at the Masters, very impressive. 26th at the Players' Championship as well. So another Pete Dye design. He's had a 7th year previously back in 2021. Hasn't done much outside of that. But I do think that Chris Kirk has been playing some better golf this year than a lot of people are giving him credit for. 18th at Waialae earlier this season as well in Hawaii, which is a similar enough course in terms of crossover of leaderboards. You can find lots of crossover between the Sony Open and the RBC Heritage. Another like a wedge fest where you need to be finding fairways, and then there's lots of shots between 100 to 200 yards, smaller than average greens, ocean side, there's wind factors. So there's a lot to like between that correlation there. So I think that he's a decent pick within that range. And again, I would have expected him to be a little bit higher owned than he is. Like, he's lower owned than Akshay Bhatia, and I do think that it's a better course fit for me than what Akshay is going to give you.
There you have it. I love it. I love a great draft. I think you're seeing multiple strategies here, from the Scotty build to a more balanced David build. I'm probably on the more balanced side, but I also have kind of two stars. So there's plenty of different approaches I think you can take this week. It should be a fun golf tournament, but we're not done yet. As we pull the draft board down, do us a favor, hit the like button, and give us a follow. It goes a long way. Don't forget to follow Win Daily. Sign up and get in our Discord, because before we wrap up the week, we will be putting updates starting with weather in Discord. So you can get the weather updates. If there is an edge to be had, early wave, afternoon wave, we will tell you. We'll be posting outright bets, anything to follow there. If you've been following along this year, you've been doing really well. You've made your money back and then some by signing up. So get in there. Check it out. We'll also have Steven's ownership article being released, which is the most accurate ownership article in the business. So if you really want to understand what ownership looks like, maybe how you'll make some of your pivots, especially in that 7K range, there's a few guys. It's a really important factor if you're entering GPPs this week. Before we let you go, we are going to dive into our first round leader market. David, who are you looking at for first round leaders this week?
Yeah, it's an interesting week for first-round leaders because of the fact that there's only 69 players in the field. Nice. Is that you are getting some really depressed odds on first-round leaders. Like, the bookmakers have obviously noted the limited field size, and compared to the win odds, they've really, like, clamped down on a lot of these golfers when it comes to first round leaders. So I'm not going to have a huge number this week as a result of that, because I just think that some of the value is kind of stripped from some of these players because of what the bookmakers have done. It's like, it's almost like they've gone too far between factoring in the fact that it is a smaller field versus the chance of some of these golfers actually going out and spiking on one single round. So for me, I'm going to take a couple of guys who were drafted in the PGA Draftcast this week. So I'm going to take Lucas Glover at 50-1. He can ball strike the hell out of it. We've seen him be first-round leader previously at places, and we know that with a golf course like this where it really fits his eye, if he can spike a hot putter for one round, as he kind of showed us last week, he can come out and shoot a really low number. 51 seems a decent number, and his odds haven't been cut too drastically compared to his predicted win probability. Then another golfer who didn't get drafted this week on the PGA Draftcast, who I do really like, Austin Eckroat. You can get him at 80 to 1 for first round leader. If you're at MGM, you can get him at 90s. He's been absolutely ball striking the hell out of it. I mentioned in the lead up to the Masters that over the last 30 days, he ranked actually within the top 10 for strokes gained approach for that field, which is incredibly impressive. I don't think he's getting the credit for it that he necessarily deserves. And I think that he is good value at 80 to 1 in the first round leader market. Final two for me, Siwoo Kim. We haven't mentioned him on the show, but he's been playing some great golf lately. Really good approach player. Played really well at the Sony Open. He's displayed a lot of success there. I think this is a good spot for him, and probably prefer him in the first round leader market to an outright win market, because I have some questions about the putter in the short game, whether they can actually hold up for a full four rounds. But certainly the kind of golfer that can come out and spike a first round. So you can get him at 35s in majority of places. But my absolute lock is the guy who I think could well win this golf tournament, and that is the Englishman, Tommy Fleetwood, who you can get at 28s.
I love it. I love those plays. I'm smiling. I was adding Siwoo to my card also, as you were saying. I was like, yeah, Siwoo is someone we mentioned today, but someone I think is a good fit for a first round leader play. So I'll include him as my first. I think my two longer shot plays that I like this week, both were not drafted on the show, who I think are both very playable. Both coming in at 60 to 1 are Emiliano Grillo, who has a good history here, has shown to have some spurts on this course, as well as Tom Hoagie, who we've seen be the best ball striker on tour for a portion of this season. I think he could come out and have a great one round and maybe be a first round leader play at 60 to 1. I think the most interesting one for me, though, I think if we've already mentioned him a bunch on the show, the best golfer in the world.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Scottie Scheffler, I mean, you couldn't get those odds for him to win the whole tournament. And if you're concerned about him withdrawing, it probably won't be on the first day. So you get kind of pretty decent odds at 12 to 1. He can come out and have a great first round and be your leader and then go home to his wife and not have to play the whole 4 days. So it's an interesting way to get some action on Scottie coming off what was already an historic week at the Masters. That's a wrap. That's it for me this week. That's it for the draft cast. I think it's a really fun tournament. And so don't have too much of a Masters hangover. Get involved. I think there's money to be made, especially if you do your research. There's certainly some good targets to go after. Don't forget, sign up for Win Daily. Get in the Discord. Make sure you get those updates. Those are critical updates before the tournament starts that will help you get that final edge to make sure you're winning. And, of course, we post the updates throughout the tournament in case you're playing Showdown or making midweek bets, to make sure you get that edge. Exciting week ahead. Can't wait to get back and draft with you guys next week. David and I need to unseat the audience, who is our current champion. Great job with their win last week, and great job getting your picks in this week. Audience is on fire. You guys are the engine that makes this show run. We greatly appreciate you. David, am I forgetting anything this week?
Yeah, I have two things. One's a question and one's a blatant promotion.
Okay.
We've had the Masters deal out for the last month. It is your best time to sign up for Win Daily right now. I've had permission to extend it for one more week, but it is going away. You're getting 50% off at the moment for joining Win Daily. So that means you get access to not just golf, but MLB, NBA, the NFL. You're going to go right through to next year's Masters with your coverage with Win Daily Sports. Get all of our selections across a wide variety of sports. And you're only paying $250 for the entire year versus our normal price of $499. So it's your best time to get in. The promotion does end. There's a link in the description. Just click on the link and have a read and see what we do and read a bit more about our reviews, our track record, what we do, what you're going to receive with Win Daily, because it's just... it is just silly. Like, we're giving it away at the moment. It's really silly value. So that's the first thing. Shameless plug for Win Daily and what we're doing over there. The second is a question for you, Joel. How do you treat Jordan Spieth this week? Because I would say that in 2022, he missed the cut of the Masters, came here the week after at a spot that he loves. He won the golf tournament. I'm seeing zero ownership on him. It seems like the kind of spot where Jordan Spieth, one of the best short game players in the world, who has a great record on a course like this, could just come out and play well. So he's someone that I'm really interested in, but I'm just so curious as to what he's playing. I'd love your take on Jordan Spieth.
It's funny. We're on the same wavelength here on the end of the show, because I was considering mentioning Jordan Spieth as my last first round leader play and then opted out. I was like, nah, let's leave it at what I said. Listen. He's an interesting one for this week for a few reasons. He's not in good form, and it's kind of hard to suggest him right now because what we've seen. But he's still Jordan Spieth, and if there's a get-right spot, it's this tournament. It's this course where he's going to get right. So I kind of look at it as like it's a play where there is a world where he can show up and surprise people, and it's going to be depressed ownership because of his form has not been good. But that's the way I would play him. I definitely wouldn't be overweight to him. I'd be playing him in some lineups as a leverage play. It's like, hey, maybe I got a little chalky here. Let me throw Spieth in my last spot where I can afford him as a way. It's like he does have upside, and I can kind of get some leverage on it from that angle.
For sure. I mean, the guys won here in 2022, and he was runner-up here in 2023. Before that, he's had a 9th, a 12th, and an 11th in his first three tries around this golf course. I just think he's a really interesting name this week, one that's worth looking at. I love this comment from Ed. Are there any clubhouses that Spieth can hit this week? I believe there is a clubhouse at Harbour Town, but more notably, he could potentially hit it into the lighthouse, I think would be a really interesting way that he could play the 18th hole as a possibility out there. So we'll see if that happens. If there's any lighthouse hits, you know where you heard it here first, and that was on the PGA Draftcast.
If he hits the lighthouse this week, if somehow that comes to, we've made that a reality, that would just be unbelievable. That's a wrap. Again, this is a fun one to watch, so make sure you have some availability this weekend to tune in and check out at least the end of this tournament. Get your plays in, and we are gonna find some winners and crown a champion, hopefully dethroning the audience next week. Maybe Sia will be back to help see that come to fruition. If not, sports.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.